Welcome to Pod Sauce. All right, we got a little fun one for you. I think you're gonna like this, Leash.
The actor in me deeply appreciates. Deeply appreciates.
Deeply appreciates. We're gonna bring on Michael Stein, who's got a podcast called Long Shot Leaders. And I was listening to this podcast this morning. It was a really fascinating interview, but I'm gonna throw it over to Michael first because I wanna hear what his explanation is of what this podcast is about. So give me a good 30-second brief introduction to your podcast for someone who may not have listened to it before.
Okay, well, I do a podcast called Long Shot Leaders because I consider myself a long shot. I come from a long line of long shots. My grandmother escaped the Russian concentration camps on her way to America. My dad was a New York homeless street kid, became a multimillionaire only to become homeless again. I was a long shot. I was born premature, health issues, ADHD, dyslexia. They put me in UCLA for an all school when I was a kid. I didn't know why, for special needs. And basically, I didn't find any success until making people laugh. You know, I started doing stand-up comedy when I was 19, had a lot of failures and successes that we can get into. But overcoming, large obstacles to find success seems to be in my DNA.
I think one thing that I really love about your podcast, Michael, is that we all know that the path to success is not linear. It has the ebbs and the flows. And even in your bio, you give such a beautiful breakdown of, at this juncture in my life, I endured this, and at this juncture. And so being able to speak to actors, creators, directors, and find out about various points in their lives, how they got around those obstacles. How important to you was it, obviously, to create a podcast like this, especially during the pandemic?
Well, I wanted to do it before, and I said, what kind of podcast would I do, right? So I knew, as being a stand-up comedian, actor and a filmmaker, and when you write, a screenplay, everything always centers around write what you know, talk about what you know, really get to the heart of the matter, the truth, as much as it hurts, especially when you're a stand-up comedian. At least the stand-up comedians I like Richard Pryor and Rob Lands, Billy Crystal, those guys, they bare their soul. You can't have too much pride. So I wanted to dig in deep and talk about, especially if you're going to do something talking about failure and success, that yin and the yang of that, I had to own my own. So I, talked about everything and anything that I thought would be valuable that was good and bad. There's some things I didn't talk about, I run a company, but for the most part, I bare my soul. And I think that that's, giving value. And it's that's the thing I would want to hear. I want to hear like total transparency from a comedian or a podcast or whatever.
All right. So I want to give you some props for the episode that I listened to. I listened to the one, it's pretty recent. It was about a Emmy award winning producer who was basically giving birth and died on the operating table during the C-section because she had some rare condition, and for 37 seconds was gone. And you talked to her all about this experience. How did you find her? How did this interview land in your lap?
I think I found her on Podmatch. So there's there's services, there's Podmatch, there's Podcaster, I don't know, there's like several different connections, but I think I found her, a formal way. And, I look for those kind of stories. I'll look for, somebody that is, that's a no-brainer, right? I mean, to do what she, and she also had some other stuff to overcome in her personal life. So, and I just found her interesting, so I wanted to be able to interview somebody like her, and that's how I found her, through a formal source.
You have an episode that's around the 48 Laws of Power. Now, I want to talk to you about that outside of this podcast space, because as someone who has had, and still doing, operating within the Hollywood scheme, we all know that it can feel very angular. And so I personally have a slight issue with the 48 Laws of Power. How do you, coming away from that interview, did you walk away feeling like this is a structure that people subscribe to, or how do you, or just bring more of your authenticity to the table, and then that will make room for you, that and your gifts?
This is a great question, and I will tell you why. Because the 48 Laws of Power can be used for good or for evil. We talked about on that episode.
Yeah.
I talked about this with my wife and my kids. I've read the book since, I think it was 2001. I've always visited it back to it. I contacted Robert Greene because we have mutual Facebook friends, and that's how I got him to be on the show. So 48 Laws of Power, I was just telling somebody got the book, it was a younger person that I know. And I said to my wife, I was like, boy, I really wish he maybe you know, took some personal development courses before he reads the book, you know? And that's because if you don't understand or have a good grasp of, you know, self-inventory, why people do what they do, why you do what you do, some type of modicum of like education and personal development, you might look at the 48 laws and you can just, you know, kind of get the wrong idea about them. So the reason why Robert Greene wrote that book is because he worked in Hollywood and he was downtrodden by these, I don't know, demagogues. I mean, I don't know what you want to call them. I mean, I've been called a Hollywood catfly, you know, really, right?
Yeah.
So he was so downtrodden by that. Plus, he also had like 80 jobs before he was a writer. And he was so, you know, beaten down by, you know, employers that, you know, he was always a historian. He was a great student that it came inherent him to write, you know, the underdog story about these 48 laws. And he had landed on 48 because I guess that exhausted, really, he couldn't really think of another.
Yeah, that's a different perspective to look at it from. Sorry, that's definitely a different perspective to come at the 48 Laws of Power, because I definitely have always had this thing about it. Maybe just being from the South, you and I, before the cameras were rolling, both, you know, talked about you're in Texas now, I'm from Texas. And there's just a different way that we go about things where even when you do your own introspective work, still having to operate within the Hollywood scheme and wanting to do it with some integrity that it can sometimes, some of the laws can make you feel like, is that on the up and up? You know? It's very angular, so, yeah.
There's so much to be, that is a really, so much dynamics we can get into as far as like, you know, the you know, coming from a smaller town or a smaller area or outside of a bigger city, the dynamics of Hollywood, the psychology behind it is very dynamic, different than, you know, any other city, even New York, you know, which my parents are from. So, you know, and Hollywood particularly, the small portion of LA, you know, doesn't encapsulate the whole city. It's just, you know, that culture.
Right.
You know,
it is a culture and in some degree a clique.
Yeah.
So, Michael, you know, you've had a lot of people on your podcast as guests, very successful people, CEOs, filmmakers, drug dealers, international talk show hosts.
Wait, that pivot from CEOs to
you could be very successful drug dealer.
That's true.
I guess, you know, you've got over 100 episodes. And if someone was going to check out your podcast for the first time, is there an episode that you would say, this one was great, check this one out, it is my gold standard of an episode?
Well, that's so hard to say, because these are all, they become, for me, I handpick each one of these. We do 3 episodes a week, but I handpick each one. So it's like, really, I love each one of these people. But for the most part, I can't really think of one person yet, knock on wood, that I really
You've got to
really
have
like.
A favorite child, even though you don't want to say it.
I do.
Who's your favorite child?
I wouldn't say favorite, but I will say the most impacting. And it's a no-brainer, and that's a 92-year-old Ben Lesser, Holocaust survivor. Mm. I really, you know, I'm Jewish. I really wanted to make this an important podcast. You know, I told my daughter, this is like really important to me. I planned for it. The intro is 7.5 minutes long. My intros are usually like maybe 25, 30 seconds, you know, depending on the guest, you know, how much you need to explain. But, you know, I mean, they're not really making any more Holocaust survivors anymore. I grew up with that kind of rhetoric, you know, because of my grandmother surviving the Russian concentration camps. It's something that, you know, I had to sleep in the same room with my grandmother until I was 9 years old, you know, so there's a long story there. But I, you know, hearing that story, you know, so and talking to him, very emotional, very important to me, you know, so that's the most impacting. But there's other ones that, you know, stand out where, you know, somebody was wrongfully jailed when they were 17 years old or 16 years old, and they spent 16 years in jail. Hmm. And then they found the DNA, and he was innocent. And that's a tour de France of like hell. And there's just a lot of other of those stories. But the most impacting, I'd say, would be Ben Lesser, 92-year-old Holocaust survivor.
Wow. Hmm. I will listen to that episode. Yeah. I can't get enough. I'm also Jewish, and I cannot get enough of those stories. I try to take them in.
Yeah.
You know, I've been at dinners where relatives are there, and I am glued to every word coming out of their mouth because,
yeah.
I mean, what they live through, such fascinating, horrible for stories. Sure. So I will check out the Ben Lesser episode.
I barely do any talking during the interview.
Fair.
I just do a long intro. I do a pretty much short outro. And he's like I say it in before it starts, I say he's like an elegant, you know, riding horse. You ever go horseback riding? Mm. He's told the story so many times, you know, because he wants to record it for, you know, historical reasons, that he just led the story. It was 2 hours. My podcasts are usually 30 to 30, 40 minutes. It was 2.5 hours. And I knew it was going to be long. Kind of like a Holocaust documentaries are long, you know. So I just took my time with that.
I'm gonna definitely check that episode out. Is he still with us?
Yeah. I'm gonna have him back for 1 year anniversary.
Okay. And the podcast that you did with the wrongfully imprisoned person, are they of color?
No, they're not. They I don't know. They're Caucasian. Uh-huh. But
he's a teenager. And I only ask because it's not often that you hear a wrongfully, you know, jailed white person, you know, for an extended period of time. Usually that's something that unfortunately is very prevalent within the African-American community, due to not being able to get bail and, you know, all of those other things. We are a podcast discovery show. If you could give us what recommendations would you give our listeners and our viewers for podcasts to check out?
You know, I wish I had something that was original. You know, I have a lot of people that do podcasts that were on my show, but the podcasts I listen to I listen to Mark Maron, you know, I listen to John Lee Dumas, who's been on my show, Entrepreneurs on Fire, because I'm an entrepreneur. Yeah. I listen to Mike Selzner, marketing, because I do the marketing for my company. So I'm very practical in the podcasts I listen to. Mm-hmm. And I listen to those, you know, I'll jostle those. Then there's Neil Patel. I listen to his podcast too. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Neil Patel. He's a marketing guy.
What's the name of his podcast? Do you remember?
Oh God, I forgot of it. It's on my thing. Yeah, it's funny because the episodes are maybe like 2.5-3 minutes long, but they just
real fast. Yeah. Yes.
That's right up Dax's alley. Dax,
I'll listen to four episodes and be done.
Yeah, I mean, it's great because, you know, you're just getting to the point really quick with, you know, marketing and their latest on the marketing, and it's great. Yeah, it's good stuff.
So I have one last question for you before we have to go, but how do you decide if someone is interesting enough to have on your podcast? Because I got to imagine there's a lot of people out there. You're putting out numerous podcasts a week, so you're getting a lot of people in, but what is it about them that goes, okay, this person is to the quality that I want to hear their story?
I look for the arc. It's like if I'm writing a screenplay, you know, so it's the same thing. So if I'm going to, you know, find a guest, I'm like, Michael, what kind of, you know, what was there a moral need? Was there a character arc, you know, that you can build on? Was there something inhibiting, you know, a want that they had? Was there an inciting incident? Was there a moment where they stepped into Oz, you know, where their world changed forever? Was there a new equilibrium changed, you know, after they, you know, went through the Tour de France of the hardship that they had to go through? What was the new equilibrium? You know, what's the skill set afterwards we can, you know, get into afterwards? I look for all those key bullet points. Like, it just comes inherent to me to like, kind of like, and I can look at somebody's bio within like, you know, a minute and kind of see if that arc is there. And that's kind of what I look for. Like a Save the Cat, John Truby story structure kind of, you know, story, whatever I could attach to that person.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us, Michael. And if people want to check out his podcast, we're going to go ahead and we're going to put up a link to his podcast, Long Shot Leaders, on podsauce.com. And you can go there, check it out. And you know what? If we can, maybe we'll do a direct link to the Ben episode, because I think that is one that really caught my attention, and I bet it will catch a lot of other people's attention out there as well.
Thank you so much, Michael. And guys, don't you go anywhere. We have more. This is Pod Sauce.